And welcome to The Morning Magazine, your front range morning news program here on Community Radio KGNU. It's Friday, October 18th. Thanks for tuning in. I'm your host, Hanley Myers. Coming up on today's Morning Magazine, the Boulder Oddfellows Lodge is hosting an open house this Saturday to celebrate the Boulder Group's founding 150 years ago. Curious about the Oddfellows, who they are, what they do? I assure you those we'll get answers to those questions this morning, and we'll be getting them from Sam Fuqua. He's a Boulder Oddfellows member you've been hearing from this morning. Then tomorrow at CU Boulder, the Summit of Women takes place. Compañeras Summit, or Cumbre, is an event for women by women who speak Spanish. We hear from one of the organizers. And Saturday is also World Singing Day. Over 50 sing-along events in a dozen countries are scheduled, and the event was founded in Boulder. And tomorrow on the Pearl Street Mall, over 1,000 participants are expected to join together in a free public sing-along. I spoke with the event's founder for more details and why he believes the event is so valuable. At 8:30 on Connections, we'll go to KGNU's Fiona Foster. She'll be speaking with the author of All Politics is Local, Megan Winter. And as we are in our fall fun drive, we'll be having copies of that book available if you call in and pledge your support during Connections this morning. But first, we bring you your local headlines. Here's Steve Miller.
A study published Thursday found that Colorado residents living near oil and gas drilling shows there could be possible health risks. Colorado Independent reports that the study conducted by the consulting firm ICF International shows people living within 2,000 feet of oil and gas drilling could be exposed to short-term health risks under worst-case scenario conditions, which would come in the early stages of drilling when emissions are highest or when the wind blows toward a home. The study is based on emissions data, which is used to estimate how pollutants might move through the air. Oil and gas operations emit volatile organic compounds, including the known human carcinogen benzene. The study found cancer risk fall within acceptable federal exposure limits. The study does use data dating back to 2014, prior to Colorado's adoption of limits on methane emission. The Colorado Oil and Gas Conservation Commission, along with oil and gas regulators, will now start to determine the cause of the possible short-term health impacts. The COGCC will be adding new measures for all drilling location permit applications that fall within 2,000 feet of an occupied structure, along with improving monitoring test emissions of current drilling activities. In 2018, residents filed 548 complaints over drilling near their homes, pointing to concerns over noise, odor, and air quality. There are more than 53,000 active wells in Colorado, with the state approving more than 1,800 drilling permits this year. Regulators made clear that there are no plans to stop drilling at this time, making it unclear if things will change for people living near oil and gas operations. A new survey of greenhouse emissions in Boulder shows that the city is on track in reduction goals. Maeve Conran has more.
The city of Boulder yesterday announced that greenhouse gas emissions were down 18% in 2018. This is compared to 2005. According to a release by the city, this also marks a 2% decrease from 2017. Earlier this year, Boulder officials said that their overall goal is to reduce total emissions by 80% by the year 2050 compared to 2005 levels. That would represent 369,000 metric tons of carbon. Yesterday's press release says that city government operations have reduced their greenhouse gas output by 38%. That's compared to 2008. The reductions are due, the city says, to improvements on city buildings and water utilities. For KGNU, I'm Maeve Conran.
Graduate students at the University of Colorado are planning a week of protests on the Boulder campus starting on Monday, demanding waivers for mandatory student fees. The week of action is being organized by the Committee on Rights and Compensation, which says there will be four-hour sit-ins every day at the Regents Building and a walkout on Friday. A spokesperson for the committee told the Daily Camera that the goal is to get a commitment from the university to waive fees for graduate student workers in the next academic year. CU Boulder does not recognize the Committee on Rights and Compensation as a union. Instead, it mediates grad student issues through the United Government of Graduate Students. The Daily Camera reports that the university is currently considering task force recommendations to reduce or waive student fees. In February, graduate students staged protests on campus, protesting student tuition fees. It culminated in a rally that attracted hundreds of supporters on February 5th at Ferrand Field. And in today's weather, there's a slight chance of thunderstorms and breezy, with highs in the mid-60s. Tonight, breezy in the mid-30s, and Saturday, sunny, with wind gusts of 15 miles per hour. And Saturday night, chance of rain after about 1 a.m., and then mixing with snow and rain after 5 a.m., and then breezy, sunny, chance of rain and snow and wind, highs around 50. I'm Steve Miller for KGNU.
And tomorrow at CU Boulder, the 13th annual Summit of Women takes place at CU Boulder. Rosanna Longo spoke with Ilana Aranda, excuse me, of El Centro Amistad, the organization of the Compañera Summit, or Cumbre, an event for women, by women, who speak Spanish.
This year, the summit is dedicated to the cycles of life. So we're going to talk about power, balance, and justice. At the same time, we have the Youth Latinx Summit. That this is a different summit, and name of their summit is Culture, Roots to Rise, Culture, Social Justice, and Action. Es un movimiento juvenil. During this summit, we're going to have a panel of people who has been victim of domestic violence, or they've been living with this, struggling with cancer, any loss and grief, immigration, identity, other issues. So we're going to be all this morning, 9 to 12, talking about this. And after that, we're going to have we invite many organizations to promote what they do, and this is all about our health. After that, we're gonna start a new group that is called Artesana. And in Artesana, we're gonna have different tables that you're gonna be able to express yourself through art. And also, we're gonna have activities with Reiki and movement. We have six different workshops that gonna be so great, because this is really powerful women who come to talk about how we can take care of ourselves, especially people who work in the community who are taking care of other people. Usually we forget about taking care of ourselves. So we're gonna talk about how we can be strong to continue doing this work. We're also gonna have another six women coming, talking about different issues about sexuality, how we can know more about our health, how listen our bodies, and another issues about our own goals, and just to have a reflection what we are doing right now and what we want to change, and the ways that we want to live in this country.
Elena, I have seen, you, especially you, this year coming strong with a whole movement and programming that is really embracing the needs of the Spanish-speaking community here in Boulder. And I just want to ask you, what is the motivation behind, and how is it that now you can really go deep into supporting the whole ecosystem? Because you have been creating a whole ecosystem around for years, but now with much more force.
I want to say that it's not only me. This is a group of women who are supporting this movement. And I'm part of that circle. And it's because I'm doing this is because I have these women working with me. And every time we have more people interesting to share. And the beautiful aspect about the summit is that is women who has been having more privilege, for instance, to know more, to maybe they went to university, they are PhD, and these people comes back to their own community with this solidarity to share what they know. And in the summit, we all, you know, women, we are eating all together, and this is a beautiful thing to see, all women, and we don't say, hey, these people are PhD, sit in this table and you sit in that table. We all sit together and sharing same dreams and hoping that some people like me, who has more privilege, eventually other people can have, you know, more and have more access, and this society can be more equal. We can have more equity and solidarity between us.
You got the award of the one that lights the community. You have been lighting the community of Spanish-speaking women here in Boulder County, and you continue doing it, and this summit looks really special to me, and I'm just wondering if you want to add something else.
Come and be with this group of compañeras and be with this group who are willing to share and just have a really wonderful day. And also to know that this is a movement. And after the summit, we continue with same goals and know that we are more and we are together and we have the same dream.
The Compañera Summit or Cumbre takes place all day tomorrow at the UMC on the CU Boulder campus. You can find out more at elcentroamistad.org. And isn't it neat to have bilingual reporting as part of what KGNU does? We are so pleased to have Rosana Longo on the team, stepping up the bilingual reporting that we have here at the station. Just another thing and another reason to pledge your support this morning to KGNU.
It really is exciting, Hannah Lee, to think about and to hear these reports from Rosana and this bilingual reporting project that KGNU has engaged in with the Community Foundation serving Boulder County, a wonderful way to bring voices to the airwaves that struggle in many other forums to be heard. And so I've appreciated many of Rosana's reports, including the mobile home documentary, very important issue here in Boulder. If you appreciate that, know that your dollars are helping make it possible. That's what we're about this morning. It's the last morning of news during the 2019 fall membership drive, so we're really urging folks who haven't gotten around to making their contribution to get it done this morning and vote for local news and information for voices of your friends and neighbors. Elena Aranda is my neighbor up in North Boulder, and I'm so pleased to hear her and honor her for her important work with El Centro Amistad over many years. If you appreciate hearing these voices, please make that contribution of any amount, and Michael and Vindia Donahue will double it up to $2,000. So a matching grant in place this morning. Everything is in place. The phone volunteers are here, ready, willing, and able to take your call at 303-449-4885. Francis Marino has donated. Thank you, Francis. Evelyn Hutt has donated. I love that you guys do the pledge drive and appreciates that we minimally interrupt the shows. We really want to bring you the programming, the voices, the music that you've come to know and depend on KGNU for. These little interruptions are opportunities to remind you that we need your participation. Be a part of it. Alexander has donated. He donates twice each year, really likes everything Duncan Campbell does, one of our Connections hosts. He appreciates Democracy Now!, the Ralph Nader program, Tom Hartman's program, Richard Wolf. These are some of our afternoon public affairs programs, and also Tributaries, Robin Clare's Sunday Noon program. Thank you, Alexander. Thank you, Jesse Bank, for donating and coming back to radio. Yeah. we sometimes forget that radio has been around a long time. Its demise has been predicted many times over the past many decades, but it continues to endure, and it may have different delivery systems now via the internet and on-demand listening, but radio is still here. It's intimate, it's direct, it has a certain way of connecting with us that I think no other media does. And, you know, we all have this in common right now, Hanalei. We're all listening to KGNU. And that is a beautiful thing, that collective experience. Thank you, Jesse, for recognizing that and for donating. And Jesse's contribution, Alex's contribution, Evelyn's, Francis, all doubled this morning. And they all called 303-449-4885, or they went to kgnu.org and clicked on donate. And thank you. Keep those calls coming in, folks. We really want to match every dollar, and we're about halfway on this $2,000 match. So get it done this morning. Know that you participated, and you'll listen every morning when you turn it on, knowing, yeah, it's my station. I'm a member. And that really matters, particularly in these times. 303-449-4885 is the number.
And keeping with thanks to Evelyn Hutt, we're going to return to our morning news programming here with Sam Fuqua. Tomorrow evening in Boulder, the Oddfellows Lodge, that's at 1543 Pearl Street in Boulder, will be hosting an open house to celebrate its founding 150 years ago. You may have heard of the Oddfellows and know they're a fraternal organization with a very long history. But if you're like a lot of us, you're a little bit unclear on exactly what that history is and what they do. So if you go to that Oddfellows open house on Saturday, you'll certainly find out more. But here to get us up to speed quickly, we have Sam Fuqua, who is an Oddfellows member at Lodge Number 9. So Sam, can you bring us up to speed here? Tell us a little bit about the Oddfellows, what the organization has done, and what they do now.
Sure. Thanks. Thanks for the time to mention this, Hanalei. And we really do invite people to come by the Lodge at 16th and Pearl tomorrow between 5 and 7 p.m. We'd love to show you around this historic building and talk more about what the Oddfellows do. Yeah, I've been in Boulder since 1869. It is our 150th year, and it is also the 200th year of Oddfellows in America, begun in 1819, I believe, in Baltimore. So celebrating a bicentennial of Oddfellows in America and a sesquicentennial of Oddfellows in Boulder. It is a fraternal organization, as you mentioned, that first came about in the 18th century in England, and it was men who were laborers, typically, you know, and while there were societies of the skilled tradespeople, and certainly the rich guys had their own thing going on, there was not any kind of organized collective of working men. And the origin of the name is not set in stone anywhere. There's no definitive, but the best explanation I've heard, and the one that seems to hold sway amongst the Oddfellows, is that this idea of laborers, of working men banding together in a kind of mutual aid fraternity was considered odd. And so they became known as the Oddfellows. And then coming to America and working its way westward here in Boulder and many other towns in Colorado, the Oddfellows, many of them were miners or perhaps farm laborers, guys working in factories, but it was a way not only to socialize, but to form a mutual support network. You know, you paid your dues to be a member of the lodge, and then you knew if you were injured in the mine or if you died in the mine or in any way, the Oddfellows were going to take care of your family. The mission of the Oddfellows explicitly stated is to relieve the distressed, comfort the afflicted, educate the orphan, and bury the dead. So it was essentially a social insurance network prior to the development of government-funded social safety net programs. And our lodge in Boulder, again, started 150 years ago. The building that we're in now was built in 1899. So for, what is it, 130 of those 150 years, that building has been there. The longest continuously owned building, I believe, in Boulder, other than maybe Old Main at CU, you know, it's always been the Oddfellows for over 100 years now. And we're opening it to the public on Saturday to help celebrate the 150th anniversary and also just give people an opportunity to check it out. You know, I meet people all the time who go, yeah, I always wondered what was in that building, 16th Parole. For many years, of course, on the first floor was the Army store, Boulder Army store. It's now a clothing store called Crossroads. And this was a typical model for Oddfellow lodges throughout the U.S. They would buy or rent or build a two- or three-story building on the main street of the town and rent the first floor to provide some income for the lodge and then do the lodge business on the upper floors. That works really well at 16th and Pearl in downtown Boulder, and so we've been able to not only preserve that historic building, but also we make contributions to local nonprofits. We open up the space for nonprofit fundraisers and try to support the community in those ways. But I think the building itself doesn't get seen very often on the inside of it by folks who aren't members of Oddfellows or know someone who is. So this is a great opportunity tomorrow evening to come by and check it out.
So a quick update there for those of us to get up to speed on the Oddfellows, but a lot more to learn and a lot more to find out at that event that is taking place tomorrow. A tour of the building, see some artifacts, I've heard also.
Yeah, there's the iconography and some of the symbolism of Oddfellows is really strange and interesting, and we have some of the, you know, the old banners and documents, and there are beautiful stained glass windows in the main lodge hall. You know, if you're on 16th side of the building, you can see, oh yeah, there's big maybe stained glass windows, but they're kind of covered to protect them. You can really see them from the inside, and so there's some beautiful big stained glass in there, and it always feels a little bit like stepping back in time.
And so real quickly as we end, I wondered if you could mention the logo that you have on your Oddfellows shirt here, which is kind of cool, and I know it stands for.
Yeah, it's the three rings of Oddfellowship. There's a red, blue, and a white ring, and then the letters FLT in between each of the three rings. That stands for friendship, love, and truth, which the Oddfellows believe should, guide humankind. It's hard to go wrong with that, friendship, love, and truth. So we try to live those words and those principles in our community. And we invite you to come by the lodge to learn more. Perhaps you would be interested in joining the Oddfellows or the Rebeccas, the companion organization of the Oddfellows, tomorrow, 5 to 7 p.m. And it's 16th and Pearl, right there with the above the clothing store.
And where can people find out more?
Yeah, we have a Facebook page. So if you, or you could just search in any search engine, Boulder Oddfellows, and you'll come to information on our lodge and on the event tomorrow.
And that was Boulder Oddfellow member Sam Fuqua speaking to us in advance of tomorrow's open house. That's at 1543 Pearl Street in Boulder from 5 to 7 p.m. Thank you so much, Sam.
Thanks.
And that's the sound of a large group of people singing together as part of World Singing Day. Tomorrow, the fifth World Singing Day will take place. The event was founded in Boulder, and tomorrow on Pearl Street, over 1,000 participants are expected to join in a free public sing-along. And there are around 50 of those sing-along events in a dozen countries scheduled. I spoke with the founder and executive director of World Singing Day, Scott Johnson, about the event and why he believes it's so valuable.
So this year, we've got over 50 registered events in a dozen countries, expecting 12 to 15,000 people to participate this year. And here in Boulder on Pearl Street, we expect over 1,000 people. The weather's supposed to be great, 66 and sunny. 2 o'clock on Pearl Street, we'll be singing everything from Katy Perry to the Beatles, and for all ages, and it's when it's done right, it's just pure joy.
And tell me a little bit about the inspiration that you had to start this event and that thought that you had behind the purpose to want to do something like this.
Yeah. You know, music has always been my therapy ever since I started writing music as a teenager. It was a way for me to get in touch with my more wise, joyful self, I think. And I see this as kind of therapy for the world. And it's singing together is, I think, one of the quickest, best ways to break the ice between people and forge bonds just really quickly. It's beautiful. There's nothing else out there that can do that so quickly.
And I'm confident that I've heard about studies that prove that.
There's lots of studies, yeah. Out of Oxford and lots of universities have studied this. And yeah, you know, dopamine, all this, you feel good. You develop a trust faster with strangers than, you know, other things. And yeah, there's lots of studies out there.
I even heard about certain companies encouraging workers to sing together over lunch to kind of have a work choir so
yeah.
they can build unity and
yeah.
productivity too.
Right. Could you imagine if Congress started every session with a song together, just had to sing together.
And so we have the booklet that you hand out here with the songs in it. Tell us about the songs that are in here.
Well, let's see. We've got 23 songs, about an hour and a half. We were going to start off with Mick Jagger and David Bowie, Dancing in the Streets. We've got, you know, Uptown Funk, and we got Neil Diamond and you know, Katy Perry and Elton John and Queen. And we always try to get one for younger kids. We've got something from Aladdin, A Whole New World. And this year's Song of the Year is Twist and Shout. We're going to sing along to the Beatles version of that. And we invite people around the world to sing that song in their events so we can make global montage videos afterwards. New Zealand's going to be the first country to kick things off. There's a little town of Napier on the North Island, and they're going to be singing probably 22 hours before we do here in Boulder. So they're going to kick things off. There's something in Auckland and Palmerston North, and then it's going to be going west to Australia. And there's 12 events in Australia, at least one in every of the seven states they have there. Tasmania, the little island of Tasmania, has got a couple, two or three. Perth has three alone as well. And then it goes to Malaysia. There's three events in Malaysia. It goes to Europe and over to Canada and the U.S. We've got 20 events. And these are all registered events that we know of. And there are lots of spontaneous events, too, in people's homes or in pubs and things like that. So, and then it'll end up in the Big Island of Hawaii is the last, furthest one west that I know of. And this is for everybody. This is not just for musicians or singers. A lot of times I will tell this and people say, oh, you don't want me to sing. I'm not a singer. No, you're exactly the kind of person we want because nobody can really hear you sing anyway. So, you know, you don't have to be self-conscious. It's funny because I'm the founder of World Singing Day and I'm a songwriter and I've been doing music since I was a teenager. But I'm self-conscious about my singing, especially if I sing other people's songs. I'm fine singing down and playing the piano and singing my music, but singing other people's music, I'm a little self-conscious. So it's kind of ironic, but it's if I can do it, and Bob Yates says, I'm not really a singer, but I'm doing this too. So everybody's welcome.
And that was the founder and executive director of World Singing Day, Scott Johnson. Again, the Boulder event is taking place on Pearl Street at 2 p.m. tomorrow. You can find out more at worldsingingday.org. And that does it for the Morning Magazine. Coming up, we have connections with host KGNU's Fiona Foster. Stay tuned.